We've got breaking news. We never thought it would happen, but here we are, Trump and Biden to debate twice. Once in June and once in September. Trump's response, let's get ready to rumble.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. Will Haynes joining me in studio, executive producer of Seculo. Later on the broadcast, we'll be joined by Sean Spicer as well as Rick Grinnell. It's going to be a packed show. And in a moment that I really wished would happen, this whole political season, I've hoped this would happen. You didn't give me my primaries. Okay, the Super Bowl seemed like it was never going to come around. But now, in a strange turn of events, maybe it's due to the fact that Joe Biden's polling numbers were cratering. But guess what is going to finally happen? Two on the books scheduled announcement today. Two debates, Trump v. Biden. And it all started with Joe Biden this morning dropping this video on social media.
Donald Trump lost two debates to me in 2020. And since then, he hadn't shown up for debate. Now he's acting like he wants to debate me again. Well, make my day, pal. I'll even do it twice. So let's pick the dates, Donald. I hear you're free on Wednesdays.
Throwing some shade there. Free on Wednesday is obviously the day's off court, out
That's
of
right.
court. And we didn't know what was going to happen because the Biden administration also put, or the Biden campaign, put a list of requirements. Some of those, Will and I were talking today, didn't think the Trump campaign were going to go for. But Trump responded very quickly with essentially, and I quote, let's get ready to rumble, quote, an old Michael Buffer there, and agreeing to two debates. The first one is coming June 27th, so not that far away, just a little over a month, on CNN. And September 10th on ABC, part of the requirements by the Biden administration was that it would be held on certain networks, either the mainstream networks, NBC, ABC, CBS, or CNN or Telemundo. What was, of course, not on that list?
Fox News and MSNBC.
Any friendlies. So you got to understand that Trump knows he's going to be getting himself into a situation, but he shines in those moments, so we'll see. Last debates, 4 years ago, obviously did not go super well, really, for either candidates. And there's a lot of rules and regulations. But I want to hear from you, too. Are you excited about this? I'm excited because, look, I could take my own political point of view out of this and go, I love this part of politics. I don't love politics much at all. I think there's some real darkness that kind of goes all over all of it. But I do like to get my friends around. And now we're going to be able to get around on June 27th. And watch a debate like it's a big sporting event and actually hear what a President Trump and a President Biden have to say to each other. Notably absent will be any third party. So that means RFK Jr. not invited to the dance.
That's right. And we'll go over kind of what the stipulations were that were put forward by the Biden team here in the next segment. But they did say that the debate should be one-on-one, allowing voters to compare the only two candidates with any statistical chance of prevailing
winning in
the Electoral College. So very specific there. Biden doesn't want RFK Jr. there. I think we could look back in the 90s and see when the Ross Perot spoiler for Bush 41 happened. I think that there are some reasons why the Biden administration or the Biden campaign in this case would not want RFK Jr. there to take away from his limelight.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll find out more of that. We're getting a lot of notifications coming in. And the first person I thought to call this morning, shoot a text to, was Sean Spicer, who obviously press secretary has been involved in politics for a very long time, but also, honestly, was someone who is deeply involved in the process and was involved in the process of reformatting the debates for the RNC, for the Republican primaries. He had a lot to do with that. Now, those kind of became lackluster this year because of lack of your front runner being there. And it seemed like we were heading to a place where we weren't going to have presidential debates, that there seemed to be no reason to do it. But I am confident after watching that video, which, by the way, in typical Joe Biden move, this video is 13 seconds long and has six edits. Six jump cut edits in a 13-second video. That kind of says it all. But there are a lot of rules. There's some regulations. There's going to be some mics cut. It's going to be an interesting night. I'm looking forward to it. Actually, the first thing I've looked forward to in this political season in a very long time. I want to hear from you, your thoughts, 1-800-684-3110. I'm also going to tell you how the ACLJ is getting involved in election integrity coming up a little bit later.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Secula. We are going to slow it down a little bit so you have a better understanding of what these debates are, the likelihood of them happening. And honestly, in the last hour, it seems like that likelihood has changed dramatically to it's happening. It's on. You have a TV partner on both of these debates, whether that is the June 27th debate on CNN. And of course, anything can happen between June and September and the September 10th on ABC. I think this is coming out of two different reasons. One, you saw the cratering numbers for Joe Biden in those polls just yesterday. So I don't think that you should discount any of that. Then you have the situation where currently, obviously, Trump is dealing with not being able to campaign for a lot of his time. He is currently stuck in court. So what this does, it gets maybe a positive spin on a Trump potential presidency, because you're going to give him the opportunity to do what he usually does pretty well, which is debate and convince people. Again, those last debates in 2020, I think we kind of have to kind of remove those. We know some of the problems that were going on during 2020 and obviously COVID and everything that came after that. So to me, erase those a bit and now go towards more of the 2016 Trump debates. However, there are rules and there are stipulations, things that could, in fact, hurt the president, or hurt President Trump, but it does show weakness also on the Biden camp, because they're saying we have to have all these rules.
That's right. And we see these rules coming out of a letter that they sent to the Commission on Presidential Debates last night. So the Biden campaign sent this letter to the Presidential Debate Commission saying, we're not going to participate. Now, we already knew that these weren't going to happen because the RNC wasn't participating and President Trump wasn't participating with the Presidential Debate Commission anyways, but they were formally noticing them that they were not going to participate in the debates that were supposed to be some in October. There were two in October after early voting had already started. That was a big sticking point for a lot of people, saying, hey, some people have already cast their ballots before even seeing these two candidates face off. But they did stipulate, hey, this is what we want to see in a debate. And so these are kind of some of the ground rules that the Biden campaign put forward.
I want you to listen to these and call me and give me your thoughts. Do you think the Trump campaign made the right decision by accepting the debates, knowing that these are the stipulations?
So they said, we believe the first debate should be in late June, which is an interesting thing to note, since technically neither of them are nominated by their party at that time. This is before both conventions. But
yeah, we need to clarify that, because there was talk about that, the fact that the debates that were going to be held by the debate commission, the official commission, the concern the Trump campaign had was these are going to be held after early voting started in certain states. These are independent.
Technically, yeah, these are independent.
But these are TV events.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is, so once again, we said it'd be in late June. They noticed that it would be likely after the New York criminal trial is over for Trump, and it will be after President Biden's G7 summit with world leaders. They say it should be hosted by any broadcast organization that hosted a Republican primary debate in 2016 in which Donald Trump participated, and a Democratic primary debate in 2020 in which President Biden participated. So neither campaign can assert that the sponsoring organization is obviously unacceptable if both candidates have previously debated on their airwaves. So they were trying to draw that line of saying, like, look, it's got to be a news organization that Trump has gone to before and debated on so that he can't cry foul that it's MSNBC is the only one that would take this. The debate should be one-on-one, allowing voters to compare only the two candidates with any statistical chance of prevailing in the Electoral College, and not squandering debate time on candidates with no prospect of becoming president. A little shade to RFK Jr. there. Yeah. The moderators should be selected by the broadcast host from among their regular personnel so as to avoid a, quote, ringer or a partisan. And there should be firm time limits for answers and alternate turns to speak so that the time is evenly divided and we have an exchange of views, not a spectacle of mutual interruption. And a candidate's microphone should only be active when it's his turn to speak to promote adherence to the rules and orderly proceedings.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of rules. It's a lot of process that I'm not sure benefits really either of them for that matter. I honestly don't hate the idea of cutting the mics off because we've seen what has happened, because these moderators, if we're being honest, can't control the candidates. We've seen that time and time again. So you have some sort of technical stipulation. I guess I'm okay with it. The idea that RFK not invited to it does sting a little, and I think it stings a little because, sure, do I think he really has a chance of becoming the president right now? No, I don't. And as much as I think he's presenting interesting ideas that make people think, he also is an alternative that a lot of people who voted for Joe Biden and some that voted for President Trump last time, because they don't want to vote for these two. And when he's polling 10%, 15%, it's not like that's a small amount of people. You're not talking about putting up Marianne Williamson. You're talking about putting up someone who's polling at 1% or less or 2%. You're talking about someone who has a sizable percentage of the American people behind them and saying, sorry, because we don't think you're going to win, your voice doesn't matter. That is just reinforcing the idea that a two-party system is the only way.
And I think it also shows how much I think this was a poll-driven decision by the Biden-Harris campaign. One, we talked about all those swing states where President Trump has sizable leads, and they were states that President Biden won in 2020, and they clearly are freaking out about that, and they need to showcase him. It's the risk, right? Do you showcase him and he comes across terrible, or does it showcase him? He looks like the leader that they believe he is, and he's the adult in the room. That's what they're gambling with. But I think the specific decision to point out the RFK statistical chance of winning was almost back to that discussion that RFK put out. When you do head-to-head matchups between RFK and Biden, he wins sizably.
Yeah.
And so they don't want that.
You are giving RFK somewhat what he wants, which is the fodder to keep this conversation going. I am sure in the upcoming days and his campaign stops, he will be talking about the fact that he's polling such high numbers and not allowed to debate. I can see the point of not having him there because he can't win. I get that. But when you statistically eliminate 10 to 15% of the country, that's a lot of votes. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people to tick off too. And where do they end up? If it's Biden calling these rules, it's not Trump calling that rule, maybe they go Trump. We'll see. We got a lot of calls coming in. I'm going to take one real quick off the top. Let's go to Donna with a concern a lot of people have. Donna's watching on Facebook. Thank you for sticking around on Facebook. You're on the air.
Okay. I guess my concern is that the two networks that absolutely hate Trump are going to throw softball questions at Biden and really disparaging questions that have nothing to do with politics or Trump. Yeah. And it's going to be nothing to do but mudsling on Trump.
It very well could be, Donna. It could be that they're pulling questions that are more personal life or situations like that. I'm not sure. When you have CNN and ABC, I really think it's going to depend on who they've decided to make as their moderators. I bet we find that out potentially within the day or within the week.
Right.
Who they decide to do that. CNN, I totally agree with you. Like, that's, but Trump, remember, did that big town hall on CNN a few months ago to counterbalance the Republican debate that was happening. So it's not like he and CNN don't have some like friendly connections. They've even kind of said that in the statement.
Right. And that because he had participated in a 2016 primary debate on CNN, that was them trying to make it have the appearance of fairness, even though it's totally not. No way it's fully fair.
And then the second one is ABC. And I think ABC is interesting. Obviously, it's a Disney-owned company. However, ABC, unlike NBC, which has an MSNBC affiliate, unlike Fox, which obviously has Fox News affiliate, ABC is a bit of an anomaly in that, where there's not a huge global 24-hour news propaganda machine.
Right.
With their name attached to it. Now, they do have their own programming. They obviously have their morning shows, and they have their Sunday shows. They certainly, I'd say, are still more left-leaning. They are not a conservative outlet. But at least they, again, trying to create an appearance of nonpartisanship, and I think it depends on who gets selected as that moderator. So we'll see. We'll also see if any streaming partners partner with them. You know, a lot of times that happens as well. We've seen it with the Republican debates. We had Rumble. We've had YouTube. We've had Facebook. We've had Salem News. We've had a bunch of them partner to be sort of the streaming affiliate. So we'll see who comes in on that. But it does seem like it's going to be more of the situation where they're less stand there and do a debate and more panel discussion in some ways, with strict timelines and strict limits on what you can and can't say. Does it take a little bit of the fun out of it? Sure. But we're going to get to that actually in the next segment with Sean Spicer. And there's a reason that I texted Sean this morning. I said, I think you're the guy who needs to come on here and discuss this, because Sean is a debates expert. And he's someone who has been obviously a friend of the show for a number of years and a good guy. But he also is an expert in this. So I wanted to get his opinion and his advice, because he has his daily broadcast. He does really great work. So stay tuned for Sean Spicer coming up. I also wanted to take a minute here to tell you about what the ACLJ is doing in relation to this. This is the most important election likely of our lifetime. It is vitally important that we defend election integrity, because we've seen what happens when we don't. We know states and localities, they're making election changes. They made changes last time. We got to make sure we are making sure the law is in place. You can do that. You can be a part of it. We've got a petition right now at aclj.org/sign. We have defeated the left's attempts at so many times to change the game and change the rules. We're going to stick to the rules. We're going to play by the rules of which are allowed. Our legal and government affairs team are already preparing for the fight ahead. We're ready to go back to the Supreme Court if necessary to protect the integrity of this and every other vital election coming up. We need you to take action with us. Sign that petition at aclj.org. Stay on hold if you're on hold. Sean Spicer coming up in 1 minute.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Secula. We'll be joined by Sean Spicer in just a second, connecting with him currently, making sure he is up and ready to chat about the upcoming debates. I encourage you to go to ACLJ.org to find out more about what we're doing. Go to ACLJ.org/sign right now to sign our petition to defend election integrity and the Constitution. While we wait for Sean, maybe let's take a phone call. Let's go to Peter, who's calling in Virginia on line 4. Peter, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. I am ACLJ champion and reporting in. I love what you guys are doing. Keep up the good work because you take real action. So really appreciate that.
I really appreciate you doing that.
Yeah, my comment is that so they asked for two debates. They schedule it this way, June and September. June, 2 months before their convention, September a month after. So if he really bombs bad, as we all expect he will, then they've got a couple months to recover at the convention and pick somebody else, and then it gives the guy a month to prepare for his next debate in September. That's my view.
That's an interesting concept there, Peter. I really think they're just rallying right behind President Biden. I think that's just what's happening right now. I think we're a little too late in the game unless there's some sort of true medical emergency or something like that is to occur. But Peter, I think that those dates are not picked arbitrarily. And let's see, do we have Sean? I think we're about to get Sean up yet. Not quite yet. But you are right that we are dealing with a time. We got him now, right? I see him. So I think we got Sean Spicer ready for us. Sean, you there? I wanted to get your feedback initially. Obviously, this morning we all woke up to that video from President Biden saying, I'm ready to debate. I won multiple debates. Let's do it. And I think, Will presented me what the rules were. There was even conversation of within those rules, could the Trump administration or the Trump campaign, are they going to want to do this? And they've agreed. It seems like it's happening. But I thought if anyone could comment on this, it would be you. So that's why I hit you up this morning. And I just want to get your initial thoughts.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's funny. I woke up this morning. We had a show planned for our episode tonight where we talk about inside the court, Tommy Tuberville, Andrew Giuliani are all deciding. And I was like, oh, my God, I got to figure out how we're talking about this now. Look, I think the Biden campaign was in a corner, backed into a corner, and they thought if we lay out the most favorable terms, i.e. no third-party candidate, we get to have it at one of the media outlets that is unbelievably deferential and favorable and part of our team, i.e. CNN and ABC, we get rid of the live crowd, anything that benefits Trump, if Jill Biden moderates it, if I get two naps, then we might as well throw that out there and see what he does. And Trump, he keeps saying anytime, anywhere, and true to himself, he said, okay, I'll take it. I think it's interesting to me, though, because the bar is so low for Biden that he just has to show up. But at the same time, he's going to get such an advantage by being at CNN and ABC, who, I mean, it's not an exaggeration when we say are led by Democratic operatives. You can think about Jake Tapper and George Stephanopoulos and, I mean, Margaret Raddatz, who cried on election night. He has two very sympathetic moderators, and the bar is very low. He literally has to stand there for whatever it is, an hour, and then maybe take a nap or something in between.
I think looking at these rules too, some of them being also that the mics have to be cut off after a certain amount of time, and again, no audience. Somewhat it shows, I'm no puppet here, but it shows some weakness coming from them, and the conversation of also being it has to be the two of them. It can't be a third party, even though we know an RFK, though has no real path to win, is polling a good number, a bigger percentage than a lot of people will.
He'd qualify under the presidential, commission's rules. But here's the thing, and this is why your show and my show are so important. Do you really think that Politico or the New York Times or NBC or anyone is going to report that Biden, made it clear that those were the conditions? No, they're not going to. And so this is the advantage. They are playing with house money because they know that no one's going to call them out. Right. And no one's going to say to them, hey, that's ridiculous. You don't get to dictate the terms. I negotiated the primary debates in 2016. I negotiated on behalf of President Trump for the NBC town hall. The idea that one campaign is dictating to the media would never be acceptable except for the fact that this is Biden and they are going to do everything they can to help him.
So go ahead.
No, because this is it. Because at the end of the day, CNN's like, great, we'll do our part. Tell us what else we need to do to help you. But the idea that these guys, they would have told me to go pound sand. We set the rules. You guys can accept it or not, but we don't get to do this. I remember, just to give context, and I was going to share this with my audience later, but I'll tell you, it was funny. I have a picture in my first book, The Briefing. When I was working with President Trump, I went down to negotiate the presidential town hall on NBC. We were doing this sort of meeting with the campaign, the Clinton campaign, on board the USS Intrepid, where it was going to take place. We were meeting the NBC executives. And Trump looks at me and I said, hey, is there anything you want me to? And he goes, just make sure I go first. Now, that was being decided by a coin toss. And I thought, okay, I can't. So I called Eric Trump and I said, hey, Eric, they're deciding who goes first on a coin toss. Your dad wants to go first. I need some cover here. What do I choose? He goes, heads. I was like, okay, I just need, if I blow this, I want to say it was Eric's fault. Yeah,
I love that. So in this situation, though, you're in the Trump, if you are the people making these decisions, and Trump has accepted now, this is, I mean, I think it's going to happen. I think that this, the conversation was, maybe it will, maybe it wouldn't. I think it's happening now. So the decision-making from the Trump point of view has got to just be, let's get out there in front of something, because at this point, all we're getting is this court coverage. So can we come up with something else here? And now he's finally agreed to do it. Maybe the Trump campaign thinks Trump can shine even under these conditions.
He's going to. Look, as much as Joe Biden's going to play on a home field advantage, Trump's got immigration, the economy, China, every foreign, you know, kerfuffle that's occurring in his advantage to exploit. If I were Trump, I'd get up there and say, this is my record. Here's what I did. Joe, talk about yours. I'm done. Shut my mic off. Shut it off and let Joe Biden talk. Well, and that would be the tactic, because Biden can't defend his record. The only thing they have is abortion. They talk about defending democracy, and yet they're kicking off the third party candidate. They're not allowing people to participate. I mean, the irony of what his rules are really about is shutting out any kind of dissension. So I do think that Trump is going to have a massive advantage on the issues and on his record. And that's going to be the key. Is it, my only advice to Trump is, don't get in your own way. Let Biden sink on his own. Just literally welcome people. Thank you for having me, CNN. Jake, give all the time to Biden.
Yeah,
I mean,
I think you're right. And that's why I wanted to bring you on here, because you've been uniquely in that situation. And look, I think RFK now, he has a big talking point now, which is he's now been not allowed. We only got about a minute in this segment left. So I want to tell people also to go subscribe to the Sean Spicer Show podcast, YouTube, Rumble. We'll put up the graphic, make sure they see it. But we'll also send it to people, because I do think you bring it inside, you know, baseball voice that a lot of people don't have. It's why people, I hope, tune into you, tune into us, because it's a bit different than what they're ever going to get in the press. But it is a very interesting time, Sean, and I think I can't wait to hear your feedback on that night. So it's going to be fun.
I'm excited. I know I just booked my June 10th and 27th of September all up. But I'll give you one thing. RFK shouldn't be mad at Trump. Trump didn't exclude him. It was Biden that did it. Right. And that's where it has to be said. Make sure that Trump, he doesn't fall into that trap of making sure that he gets blamed for this. This was all on Biden.
Yep, and I think that is, I mean, head-to-head, we saw what those polls would be. So, you know what, it gives him a good talking point to go out there and continue this conversation. I think we're going to see some major shifts happening. Sean, I really appreciate you coming on here at the last second and joining us, because it is a crucial time for all of us. But look, I think for you and for I, this is fun. I'm excited to actually put something fun on the calendar, as you said. I've already called my buddies and said, we're getting together. We're watching this debate. It's great. It's our Super Bowl. It's going to be fun. So I appreciate you coming on. Again, we have a second half hour coming up. But if you haven't, subscribe to Sean Spicer, whether that is on YouTube, Rumble, or on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. You can find it there. We'll make sure the links are also in the description. Thanks for joining us, Sean. We'll be right back.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. If you're just joining us now, sort of the big news of the morning. President Biden challenges President Trump to a debate, and he accepts two debates, in fact. That's right, you've heard it here. June 27th on CNN and September 10th on ABC. I'm sure these will be prime time events. It'll be covered on both of those. Again, as Sean Spicer said, favorable to President Biden as he set the rules. These are outside of the debate commission. We know there was some confusion there in conversation with if early voting had started before the debates happened, the Trump campaign would not participate. We know the Trump campaign will happily say no to a debate. They said no to ones in 2016. They didn't do any of the Republican debates. Before this morning, I really thought we were not going to be getting these debates. But now, as President Biden has been cratering in the polls, he knows he needs something. So he created a stacked deck, if you will, of favorable rules he probably thought President Trump was not going to agree to, which included what network it would be on, including rules like that the mics will be turned off at a certain moment. What were some of the others there, Will?
It was that it was only the two of them, no audience, and obviously the dates. It had to be in June and then September. And they're also asking for a vice president debate after the Republican convention, since obviously we don't know who the vice presidential running mate of Trump is yet. And we do know who Joe Biden's running mate is, as Kamala Harris. But they're giving that date, said late July, after the convention that.
Here was Trump's response. This came on Truth Social. After, again, President Biden put out this. Can we have that video still? Let's listen. This is a 14-second video. You guys count how many cuts there are here, because obviously he couldn't get through it. Let's go watch this.
Donald Trump lost two debates to me in 2020. And since then, he hadn't shown up for debate. Now he's acting like he wants to debate me again. Well, make my day, pal. I'll even do it twice. So let's pick the dates, Donald. I hear you're free on Wednesdays.
That is clear. I mean, look, as someone who has directed children in feature films, I will tell you that's exactly what you have to do, which is you give them one line. You cut. Go watch the first Harry Potter movie. Every shot, every line, they cut away and have to come back because you're feeding someone a line. Feeding someone a line, feeding someone a line. You're doing this over and over again. You can see it happen. His hands change. Everything changes. None of this was able to be done in one take with 14 seconds. President Trump, love him or hate him, the guy could go up there and speak for about 4.5 hours. Here's was his response. It was on Truth Social. It was just a text. He said, I am ready and willing to debate Crooked Joe at the, which is different, not Sleepy Joe this time, Crooked Joe at the two proposed times in June and September. I would strongly recommend more than two debates, and for excitement purposes, a very large venue, although Biden is supposedly afraid of crowds, which is true. It's one of the rules. There will be no crowd. That's only because he doesn't get them. Just tell me when. I'll be there. Let's get ready to rumble. In a separate statement, he also said to Fox News Digital, the proposed dates were fully acceptable. So game on. It's happening. I want to hear from you, your thoughts. We're going to be joined by Rick Grinnell in the next segment. And if you didn't get to see, watch Sean Spicer's analysis of this. Go back a segment, watch that after the show is over. Really fascinating. Give us a call. I want to hear from you because, like I said, we'll hear from people that were inside the Trump administration, people who are experts in this, like Rick or Sean, obviously our team here. But I want to hear from you. You're the most important voice in the room. So give me a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you're on hold right now, we will get to you. So stay on hold. I know some of you have been on hold for 20 or 30 minutes, but with guests, it takes a minute because we can't really take calls during those segments. So the next segment, we'll have Rick Grinnell, but this is the perfect time to get in line. Get in line to have your voice heard. Do you think President Trump should be doing this? That's number one. Do you think he should be doing this, knowing the rules and regulations that are at play here, that he's going to be able to play by Joe Biden's rules, by his playbook? He said yes. Why? Because I think he knows the answer, which he can go in there, show the weakness, and smoke him in a debate. I mean, it can happen. It will likely happen. 1-800-684-3110. And you know what? If he loses, it will be probably because just the press will say, it doesn't matter. That's the thing. If Joe Biden bombs, as he likely will, you flip on CNN in the after show, they'll be like, it was just the most amazing experience I've ever seen. They'll be crying, you know. It just happens. It happens. It doesn't matter because you have to be the honest broker here. Give me a call. We'll be right back with Rick Grinnell.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Seculo. Rick Grinnell's joining us. Rick, I mean, another voice that I really wanted to hear, the feedback from this morning's news that the debates are on. I didn't think we'd get to this day after the last year of, like we said, President Trump is totally fine with not debating. You know, he has, in 2016, had one debate he didn't show up at, obviously gave no cred to the Republican other candidates running this year, and understandably so. But this time around, I thought that maybe it just wasn't going to happen, that sort of those fun events that we all look forward to were not going to happen. But the rules were set by the Biden administration. They put out, you know, a 15-second open challenge and then, you know, put up a little statement saying, well, here's what we really mean. When you first got those rules, I was like, Trump is not going to agree to these rules. These rules are ridiculous. But you can never second guess where President Trump will go. He said yes, accepted, and now these two are on the books. But I wanted to get your feedback.
Yeah, look, I look forward to having two presidents, a current and a former, actually talk about their vision for America. I'm not sure that we have been privy to something in modern times that is so clear-cut in a race. You literally have Donald Trump's version of America versus Joe Biden's version of America. And I think people want to see the clear distinction. This is a disaster for Joe Biden. He's got nothing to run on. He's got no successes. He's got lots of failures. And yet he's got all of the media. So they're going to try to convince people that multiple wars don't matter, high gas prices don't matter, and what you're seeing at the grocery store is an illusion. It's going to take a lot of money, Logan, and it's going to take a lot of spinning. I don't think they can do it.
Absolutely. Yeah, my apps that track my spending definitely tell me it is not an illusion. But Will, right. I know you got something.
That's right. Well, to me, the timing of this is so curious. We saw New York Times put out their polling earlier in the week that shows President Biden trailing in very important swing states that he may or may not have won in 2020. But we see those polls come out, and all of a sudden, surprise, surprise, this what appears to me to be almost a Hail Mary from the Biden campaign. Is it a direct referendum on these polls trying to just gain a little bit of ground at this point?
Hey, Logan, aren't we lucky to have somebody like Will who nothing gets by him? He's a very smart political guy. He sees what they're doing. He sees their spin. The timing is unbelievable, Will. You're exactly right. I mean, to see all of a sudden these swing state numbers come out they're getting pounded, and so they do a quick Hail Mary distraction. If you notice that video of Joe Biden announcing that he was going to do a couple of debates with President Trump, it's cut like more than 10 times, and it's like a 15-second video. He couldn't even get through 15 seconds. So I look forward to the contrast between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. It's going to be fantastic.
Counting it the last time, and I think it was 6 or 7 edits, and I said it's very much as someone who's directed films and directed children. It is how you have to direct kids often, which is just to feed them a line, cut, feed them a line, cut, and it's awkward. It's why when you watch, it's why when a kid actor is great, you're like, wow, that kid, it was amazing. Yeah, because most of the time, I said, go watch the first Harry Potter movie. Every line, there's a cut because they had to just feed them lines. It's clear that's what's happening, including the zingers and the jokes and the, you know, everything that gets thrown in there. And I said, there's one thing you could not take away from President Trump. If you give him a microphone, he will speak for, it could be 3 or 4 hours.
So the headline here is Logan Sekulow calls Joe Biden a child. I love it.
I'll take that. I think that that's probably true. You know, it is very similar to that. Look, I've seen the way that it has worked internally. It feels like that kind of situation. What do you get, though, on these rules? Because President Trump agrees to it, goes into, I saw one of the comments said, yes, it's a caller that's calling and said, even if it's entering the lion's den, you got to enter it. You got to be there because the rules are, If it wasn't Joe Biden, someone who I would say even most Democrats understand could be easily defeated in a debate right now, you would look at these rules and go, this is a stacked deck that is a bunch of ringers. It is offensive to even consider because it's saying not only is it not friendly networks, you are only taking networks that, like you said, are CNN has to be the first network. ABC later on, you could maybe give a little bit more of a gray area there. But you say CNN is our first debate. No audience. So we know that that plays into the fact that Biden will not do well in front of an audience. And we know Trump does very well in front of audiences. No third party candidates. So even if RFK starts polling 20 or 30%, sorry, you don't get to be on that stage. And then what were some of the others? Those were the main ones.
The microphones are cut off.
Again, another situation where I think that we are living in a world where those last debates and even some of the Republican ones were so chaotic because the moderators are bad, because the moderators can't do their job often in these situations, that you have to have these new, you know, what feels like very 2024 rules if we're going to cut you off. But you step on all of those and still he says yes. Is it just because we, you know, have to have voices in that room? If a debate can happen, it doesn't matter what the stipulations are. But I want to know your thoughts on those sort of what feels like very specific rules that, of course, will never get reported as the mainline story. It'll be just Biden, challenges Trump, Trump accepts.
Yeah. Yeah, look, the rules are ridiculous that they've put out there. Look, I think Republicans are very used to having hostile media questions. The public, though, looks at these advocates who pose as journalists, and they really rough them up. The credibility of reporters are at an all-time low. So I don't really think that they gain anything when they are so blatantly biased, especially against President Trump. He's going to throw it right back to them. So not having a live audience and you know having all of these rules is problematic, but I still think that President Trump can go in there and just kill it because we've got facts. But the one thing that I think the Trump team should insist on is not killing microphones. The media can't be in control of someone's debate. This is like censoring somebody. This is like gagging them to, you know, I'm going to just do 30 seconds and then you're off. Sometimes people want longer answers than what the moderator is willing to give a politician. And so I think if you're going to be a debate person, a moderator, get out of the way. Let the two debate. Let people see how they debate and how they formulate their sentences. Don't save them with a controlled referee. When we have referees that are too active, people get really frustrated and you don't get the authentic sense of a debate. And I think that's what people want.
True in sports, it's true in, look, as someone who's worked in the world of professional wrestling, I will tell you the number one rule if you're a professional wrestling referee is to not be a distraction to the audience. Never be a distraction to the audience. If you're in that ring, your job is to move the story forward, to help direct it, do what you need to do, but get out of the way and people shouldn't even know you're there. And that is hopefully what some of these moderators will take, you know, a note from. Maybe they need to take a note from professional wrestling to just get out of the way. I am going to be very curious who those moderators end up being when it comes to CNN and ABC, what those voices end up being in the room. But no, Will, you got something.
Yeah, it can't be lost here either, is that the rules that the Biden team put out feel like a gotcha, almost. Like, aha, either he's going to balk at this and say, no way, that's ridiculous, and they can call him out and say, oh, look, he's too afraid to debate under our rules, or he accepts it and they think they've got him again. But people forget this is Donald Trump. He had a town hall on CNN during the primaries, just one-on-one with a moderator. Is the Trump derangement syndrome so bad that their image of who Donald Trump is and what he would accept to do just not in touch with the reality of who this man is at all?
Well, I think they're responding to President Trump saying anytime, anywhere. And we know President Trump is not afraid to actually debate. But, you know, the one thing that President Trump didn't say is any rule, any censorship. And so I think there's an overreach here. What we want, what the public wants, is an anytime, any place, actual debate, not a referee and a moderator that jumps in and controls time and cuts off mics and tries to help Joe Biden. We know in the last debates, they completely played for Joe Biden. There's some zingers of moderator moments where they'd save Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden. And we find out later that they were pushing fake news. These moderators were not up to speed. You know, just one example is the Hunter Biden laptop that Joe Biden literally said in a debate was Russian disinformation. That wasn't true. And yet the moderators helped that moment, and they were pushing fake news. If the American public knew that that was a real computer laptop with real accusations, things would have been different.
Absolutely. Rick, thanks for joining us today. I always appreciate your analysis. And look, our work at the ACLJ continues. I'm going to encourage you to sign our petition right now on election integrity. Go to aclj.org/sign. But look, today, you can tell I'm having fun with this. I was excited. This is, to me, I know some people said, Logan, how can you think this is fun? Because I like this part of it. I look forward to those dates, that date in June and that date in September, where we're actually going to see head-to-head President Biden versus President Trump. As Rick said, first time two presidents, active and former, probably have done this before, especially done it on TV. A very interesting time. Phone lines are completely jammed. We'll try to get to as many as we can coming up in the next segment. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. Back in less than a minute. Great.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Secular. Hey, we just had one line open up, 1-800-684-3110. Get in line. We'll try to get to you. A lot of you guys have been on hold for a while. I'm going to ask you right now, if you're watching on YouTube or on Rumble and you're brand new, hit that subscribe. Even if you're not brand new, maybe you haven't subscribed. We know that about half our audience doesn't subscribe. And look, we've had 100 million plus views on that YouTube channel alone. Hit the bell to get the notifications. We're live each and every day. I know that sounds like the most YouTuber thing ever, but know that it really does help get the message across. And if you're in the chat right now, I'm just going to ask you to check in. I love reading at the end of the show where everyone's watching from, because a lot of times it's from around the world, which is really impressive. That means the ACLJ's messaging and what we get here gets to be heard, not just in our country, but American values, true American values, can be seen and heard all around the world thanks to these platforms. So check in, say, hey, Logan, I'm watching from blank. I'd love that. Let's go ahead and take some calls. We'll go in the order in which they came in. Marie is calling from California, listening on Sirius XM. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. My comment was I'm interested in these debates, but I really want from both sides civility and respect for each other. They're already starting with the comment that Biden made about, I hear you're available on Wednesdays, and then Trump said something back already. If Trump could just be quiet and let Biden talk, I think that would be his best weapon.
Yeah, I think... Marie, that was one of the feedback I think that came in from Spicer, which is pretty much to go in and say, okay, just let him say what he wants to say. Let Biden dig his own grave, if you will, in terms of his political acumen and what has happened over the last 4 years. We've all seen it. But I think, look, I wish you were right. I hope and pray we return back to a country where we can have those debates that isn't just mudslinging and just dirty. Like you said, the first thing he said was, I hear you're free on Wednesdays. They started selling merch that said that. Free on Wednesdays, because obviously that's when the trials are on break for President Trump. Those moments don't, like you said, don't inspire confidence for a leader. It makes you feel like you've gone too low. And weirdly, the rules that he set in place are to try to give you the idea of, oh, it will be fair. We're cutting off the microphones. There's not going to be an audience. It's going to be a serious debate. But you're right, when President Biden, and then look, in response, President Trump, not known to mince words, not known for, not throwing around insults, maybe probably the most known for that, whether you like him or not, and whether you like that or not, it is not where we are right now. This is going to be brutal. It is going to be brutal. Okay, you were right. You can see, read the writing. Maybe that's why I said I'm excited about it, and it seems fun, because I know these guys are not going to come in here and have a boring vice presidential style debate. This is not a Mike Pence, Kamala Harris debate, which, you could say whatever you want to say about it. Those were pretty boring.
Right.
This is going to be high-level entertainment, and we'll see how it goes. Let's continue on. Let's go to Bob, who's calling. Watch on ACLJ.org. You're on the air.
Thank you. I would like to see the moderators strictly limited just to the questions that are written, that they have a certain amount of time, that the cameras focus on them only while they are reading the question, and then their mics are cut off. They can say nothing else. Number two, I would like the candidates to be able to take the conversation in any direction that they want. And then, three, I would like the questions to be made known word for word, 30 minutes to the whole world, 30 minutes before the debate.
And I think that's a big problem that happened with a lot of the debates, especially in the last cycle, is that you saw moderators becoming an active participant, almost another debater, where they would do things like fact check on the fly. It went back to even between Barack Obama and Mitt Romney, where the moderator fact checked Mitt Romney on something live, and it wasn't even accurate. But they've become another voice in the room when really they need to moderate. They need to keep the time, ask the questions, guide the conversation. But even to your point, Bob, I don't think that they're going to have any problem using their time as they see fit, even if they decide to veer off what the direct question was. That's never been a problem in these presidential debates.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to take a question that just came in on social media. And it said, Logan. because I think I do need to clarify this, and then we'll go back to the calls. Do you own a lot of gray t-shirts, or is this the same one that you're wearing every day? And that comes in from Jody. Logan, do you have a lot of gray t-shirts, or is it the same one every day? I'm like a cartoon character. If you open up my closet, you'll see if I like something, I buy 10 of them. So yes, I have a multitude. These is not, I'm not wearing dirty laundry every day. So it's okay. Will says, don't smell. It's fine. I make sure he tells me that. Let's go ahead and take some phone calls and continue on. Man, all of you guys came in the same minute. So let's go Nancy in Texas on line three.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking.
Oh, Nancy. We got you. Go ahead, quickly.
I'm talking. Can you not hear me?
I can now. You dropped out for a second. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. I appreciate all you do, and I am a champion.
Thank you.
My question is, or concern is about the voting integrity.
Sure.
I have a friend who works at the voting places, and he has talked with Democrats about the integrity of the vote. And they just laugh and say, oh, we've been stuffing ballots for years.
Well, I mean, Nancy, that's obviously not a good thing you want to hear from them. But there is a lot of talk about voter integrity. We actually have a petition right now. You can go to ACLJ.org to sign because we are taking action where we can.
That's right. And if you go sign that petition, you know that you are among the other members of the ACLJ that stand with us. And it's impressive when we go to Capitol Hill and show it to lawmakers, or if we go to states and show the reach of the ACLJ and the members that stand with us on these petitions. And many times we'll even break it down by state or by district if we're going to individual lawmakers to try to affect change and show, look, the people from your district are standing here and they're asking for you to represent them in this way. Yep. So it's a very powerful tool. We've been doing it for decades at the ACLJ, and it is always known that when the ACLJ comes with a petition, they have a multitude of people behind them that want to see them represented in this way.
All right, we got two calls in 2 minutes. We're going to do our best. Teresa in North Carolina, you're on the air. Warren, we're coming right to you. Teresa, go ahead.
Hi, this is Teresa from Monroe, North Carolina. I just wanted to say that Biden is asking Trump for a debate. Trump will debate him under the table. He cannot find a door to get out.
Well, Teresa, I appreciate that feedback. I feel like
Well, there is an interesting comment that I saw someone say on YouTube is that the time limit and the mic cutting off could be bad for Biden because it does take him a while to formulate his thoughts. So are they going to cut off his microphone and not be able to go?
All right, we got 1 minute quickly. Warren, I like your comment, so I want you to say it. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Thanks. Yeah, I think that definitely do the debate because it's going to be softball questions, pre-printed answers for Biden, and Trump should throw something off topic just to watch him fumble and bumble and stumble and tear himself up.
Well, you know, it's likely going to happen, Warren. As he said, Warren put in the comments, you got to go in the lion's den sometimes, and even if the cards are stacked against you, you got to do what you got to do. All right, I appreciate everyone watching today. Thanks to Sean Spicer. Thanks to Rick Grinnell. Thanks to Will. Thanks to our whole team. Always helpful to put on a great show for you. And this show doesn't exist either without your support of the ACLJ. So go to ACLJ.org. Make a donation today if you can. Become an ACLJ champion. You heard many of them checking in today. Those are people that give each and every month to the ACLJ on a recurring basis. So I would appreciate that. Go to ACLJ.org. Thanks to everyone who comments and all of that and calls in. I appreciate it. Back tomorrow with more on Seculo. Again, ACLJ.org/sign to sign that election integrity petition.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.